Welcome to Commission Impossible. I'm Scott Fish, and with me as always is Ryan McDowell. We've become known for our commissioning over the years and got together to start a podcast to help other commissioners out. If you are new to the show, all episodes are pretty evergreen, which means you can do what many people do and go back and binge them. What we do here is go over settings, league running, listener questions, bad commish stories, interesting league ideas people have sent us, go over some of our own ideas that have now become very popular, and we answer nearly every single email we get. You can email us at commishpod@gmail.com. Now, on to the show. Ryan, last week I had to do a 10-minute solo show by myself, told a story, talked about unwritten rules.
We had
an email about unwritten a story about a guy, unwritten rule in their home league, and I disclosed that for about 90% of the history of my 34-year or 33-year home league, whatever it is, we didn't have bylaws. we didn't have them for the first decade. Maybe we had them for a little bit, then they kind of disappeared with platforms moving and stuff like that, and we rewrote them a couple of years ago, but there are unwritten rules we've had. It's just one of those things when you have basically the same guys, give or take a team or two over a 20-30 year span, like people just know the rules. We haven't really needed it, but we decided to put it down anyway again last year. But it was a fun story. I also went over some tweets that I made about what percentage of your leagues does your home league have bylaws, and mm-hmm. it was like over 40% don't. And which kind of makes sense, honestly. I was curious. Does your main league's a keeper league? Your main league, right? It's a keeper league. Do you guys have bylaws?
We do, actually, but I mean, I guess I wasn't surprised either. I mean, I wasn't even surprised to hear about your own league, because it's all about the group of people you're playing with, right?
Right. And with a good group, you can handle it.
Right. A good group. If it, as you talked about, if it's a home league where you know these people in real life and it's not essentially a group of 12 strangers thrown together on the internet, it's so, so different. And I mean, that's what makes these conversations fun, is that we can share our opinions, we can give ideas and feedback and whatever. But from league to league, there is so much variation, and the answers are different depending on the league, depending on the 8 or 10 or 12 or 14 managers in the league. So, you know, sometimes you don't have to have a 2,000-word rules document like some of the leagues that I run.
Yep, I completely agree. And I mentioned that on that show. It's all about the group. These public ones you find people online, yeah, you probably should have bylaws. you should probably try to have some bylaws, but yeah, I don't fault anyone.
It's about trust, right?
Yeah, it's really about trust. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, trusting each other. If you're the commissioner, you're trusting the managers in the league. If you're in the league, you're trusting the commissioner to do the right thing. And in a group, you know, in a group online that you don't really know, unfortunately, you can't have that trust, because we have seen so many issues, things that we've talked about throughout the history of this podcast, and things that come out on, you know, on Twitter and things like that. We hear mm-hmm. all these negative stories about commissioners or about tough managers to deal with. But yeah, when you have that trust, that real life trust of a relationship, then yeah, sometimes you don't need the rules doc.
That real factor of, I know where to find you. just kidding. I do have a follow-up to our episode 2 weeks ago when I was editing. This was the Death Becomes You league. You tossed it over. People were able to listen to all the details. I had a follow-up as I re-listened to the episodes, like I do when I'm editing. In the License to Steal division, there are these three divisions. One is the License to Steal division, where if you beat a team, you steal one of the other team's players that you beat. Mm-hmm. You have that license to steal. But if you steal the player, they get the license.
Correct.
My question is, do you have to make the steal? Like, if you don't like any of their players and you have a matchup next week that you think is more exploitable, or the potential for a better matchup next week, do you have to steal if you don't want to?
You have to steal. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have to steal, but again, that, that's a big piece. And that's one reason why we choose our matchups. So if you're in, if you've got the license to steal, obviously one, you want to, if you have the chance to call out an opponent, you want to call out someone obviously that you can beat, but you might not want to call out the worst team in the league that has no, you know, no assets worth stealing. Yeah. So, so you've got to find that balance. And then on the other end, if you're in that conference and you don't have one of the licenses at that time, maybe you're avoiding the teams with the license just so you don't lose a player. Mm-hmm. Or if that team is down, you know, maybe dealing with some injuries or bye weeks or whatever, you know, maybe you feel like that's the time to go after them, or that it would be safe to call them out.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I just, that was one of my follow-ups from that episode. It's a good episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen. And just a couple episodes. That was episode 84, Death Becomes You. This is episode 86, still yet untitled, because we haven't really done the show yet. The first thing I'm going to read, and then I'll let you go with the next one. I feel like I'm talking a lot. Actually, you read the first one here from Aaron. It's just a little hello, welcome back.
We can do that. This is from Aaron. We don't know where Aaron's from. We'll make that one up. Aaron says, no questions. Just thank you for bringing the podcast back. I'm looking forward to this off-season's content. Quick story. I recently replaced my phone, which is when I go through and manage my podcast subscriptions. I kept Commission Impossible on the feed in hopes you'd come back one day, and it happened. P.S. My main home league is entering our 16th season. Long live long leagues. We totally agree with that. Yep. Scott's got a 34-year-old league. So
yeah, something like that. I should do the math on it every year. Like, I'm not sure. And then I have to go do the math.
Yeah, we certainly love those long lasting leagues. Always a good thing. Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us. We talked about it on our comeback episode, 500 plus day break.
Yeah.
So we're glad to be back. We're going to try to, this off season, be consistent with our podcast schedule. So hopefully you'll get us hopefully every week. That would be good.
Yeah. I mean, even if it means I'm going to come on and read one email and talk about stuff for 10 minutes, or maybe we'll bank somewhere. We talk to John Bosch, or, you know, I always go to John Bosch first. I wonder how he feels about that, but there's so many great commissioners.
Oh, you know, he loves it. He loves it.
They go to one of them to just describe one of their leagues, much like you did for the Death Becomes You. We'll try to make it an every week thing this off season. This upcoming year is going to be year 33 in my league, by the way. So started in 92, 2024 will be the 33rd year. Oh man. Can't wait to do something special for that 100th year.
start planning now.
Good old 112 year old Scott. All right, let's and by the way, Aaron, that's awesome on both fronts. For everyone else listening, if you email commishpod@gmail.com, tell us where you're from. We love hearing where people are from. Let's go over to the next one. This one's kind of a hodgepodge of emails this episode. I think we'll spend 20, 25 minutes just going over a few of the emails that don't really fit in a theme that we're, going to drive some of the episodes at. But this one is from Steven in Denver. Probably going to be an SFB live draft there this year. There was last 2 years, so. In my home league, we have a relatively detailed constitution. The league started in 2010 and we added the constitution in 2014. But as you know, you can never plan for everything. In 2017, one person in our league, frustrated with that his team was struggling, as a joke, started exclusively Broncos players. They are based in Denver, obviously. He texted me, the commish, about it, hoping I would see the joke during the week. I gave him an annoyed haha and told him to fix his lineup. Unfortunately, I didn't check if my check by Sunday. He played the awful lineup, scored about 75 points less than an average lineup. Unfortunately, he lost based upon who he would have likely started. He would have probably won. This set off a chain reaction that if he would have won, the seeding would have changed, which would have made a different champion. All that fun stuff. Luckily, when we wrote our constitution, we added a don't be that guy clause. We invoked that clause and took away his first round pick the following year. Fair or too harsh? Best, Steven from Denver. I'll let you, I have a few thoughts right off the top, but I will let you start on this one.
Yeah, well, like you said, this was not necessarily covered in their constitution at the time. I'm glad they did something. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the clause that you have in all your rules documents. And I think so many others, right. So many others have added it. By the way,
can we pause for a second? Because I love hearing people cite my best interest clause and your productive struggle on podcasts. I heard both of those in the last week on podcasts. Nice. And I'm like, that's just fun. That's just fun. I smile when I hear it. We contributed something out there, Ryan.
we did something. I don't know if it was a big deal, but we did something.
Probably not. But go ahead. Sorry for the interruption. I smiled twice this week over those things.
Nice. Yeah. So the best interest clause that you've had in your rules documents for years now, and like I said, I've borrowed, and so many others have as well. This reminds me of it. I mean, kind of a more fun title, don't be that guy. And it sounds like, this Steven mentioned, this is a home league. So I am, of course, assuming that these people do know each other in real life. And that adds something, I think, to the story, to the situation. As far as the punishment, I think it's fair, honestly. Especially when you can see that it did have this, it had a huge impact on who won the championship that season. Right. So there are going to be, there's going to be consequences when you mess up, especially when you seemingly mess up on purpose. So I think it's fair. I also love that we're getting this story about something that happened 6 or 7 years ago. I think that's great too.
I like all that. I'm with you on that stuff. Obviously, some of the stuff I probably would have said too. My one caveat on it is, if I were to go back, I would love to know when he realized that lineup was set. He said he didn't check that Sunday and missed it. Because it feels like that's the kind of thing you probably could have fixed that week or done something prior to the seeding of the playoffs have all that's if you'd notice. But if you didn't notice, and I get that. It would have been nice for them to have corrected that on the spot, but I'm guessing they didn't notice until after the fact. In which case, yeah, I mean, it's probably fair. I mean, at that point, it's really just a judgment call. And I'm assuming, based on the statement we wrote into our constitution, don't be that guy clause, invoke that clause, the first round pick, I'm guessing they have potential punishments or some wording that says the commissioner will try to deem what a fair punishment is. In which case, yeah, that's fine. It's really too bad that, like, I don't know how malicious that the guy was being on it.
True. Either. That's
you
true.
Know, like the commission did, this says he did tell him to fix the lineup and he didn't do it. So that makes it a little rougher. But it's fine, I guess. Yeah. I just wish they could have fixed it as it happened. You know what I mean?
Right. Sure.
That would have been better. Otherwise, it sounds like it changed a whole lot to the end of that season, which sucks for kind of everybody involved.
How do you feel about, because I've dealt with this and I don't think there's an easy answer, when there is a lineup issue that you as the commish, you don't catch it in time, whether the week has started or potentially the week is already finished, and you've got a team, typically it's a tanking issue, Right. Sometimes it's just an oversight or whatever it might be, but right. you've got a team that did not start a good lineup, you know, multiple players on bye or injured.
Yep.
Do you go back and adjust that lineup after the fact? I don't know. I always struggle with that.
So my rules are actually fairly specific on this. It says if the faulty lineup was due to intentional tanking or a potential abandoned team, it will be corrected based on the pre-week projections. And if it's not that, then it stands. And tanking can be a little subjective, so it has to be a pretty obvious tank job. But if someone simply misses their lineup, leaves a guy in, whatever, I don't fix that. You just missed that. But yep. if it's an intentional tank, I try to fix it if able. I believe my rules also state something along those if able lines, because I think you have until the Monday night game is over, or maybe at best stat corrections to kind of fix that before not only it's harder to do on whatever host you're using, but also everybody has to move on and start planning for the next week, et cetera, with waivers, with, you know, standings, all that stuff. So, yes, it is a hard situation, especially if you don't have rules on it. But my general rule that I have in leagues is if it's an abandoned team or intentional tanking, it'll be corrected based on projections.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Of course, the intentional tanking has to be pretty clear. if it can be argued as a judgment call, generally those are, you know, they are what they are. But we all know intentionally it's the pornography thing from the Supreme Court, right?
Yep.
you know it when you see it. Can't define it, but you know it when you see it. All right, Ryan, let's do one more and then get on out of here. This one kind of touches on stuff we've talked about in a couple episodes this season. Do we consider this a new season of Commission Impossible? Feels like it is. Oh,
I think we have to call it that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what season it is. Four?
I should relabel them all. This is season four. Yeah, five, something like that. I don't know. Yes, I'll look it up. Definitely. I'll figure it out.
All right, last one comes from Austin. Austin says, in our Dynasty League, we allow tanking. It has been voted on and decided that teams can tank under the stipulation they start active players in their lineup. Prior to the season, I owned 4 first-round draft picks in hopes of being able to draft Caleb Williams. I was fortunate to also have a contending team, ended up finishing 3rd place. I own the pick of one of the worst teams in the league who had virtually no shot at the playoffs and had no draft picks. I made a trade offer, giving them one of my first round picks in exchange for them just tanking. I love this already, Scott. Wow. I love where this is going.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I want to see what happens here. Yeah. Okay. So he's giving the bad team a first round pick. He's keeping that team's first round pick. And all he has to do is tank, lose on purpose. You still start active players, but you start the worst active players you roster. Wow. Let's see what goes on next. We were both aware of the gray area this could be. So we spoke to members of the league, including the other team in the league, with the intention of tanking, even going as far as giving the only other tanking team the power to veto the entire deal. Ooh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Well, honestly, I feel like this would happen in my home league with similar circumstances where
it's one of the unwritten rules, right?
Yeah. You have a good group of owners and you're like, I understand this is gray. We're going to let you guys know. We're going to even give you some power to say no to it. I like that they went to the other members. I'm really excited to find out where this goes. Neither of us have read this.
If that manager said no, we would not do it. He approved, and the rest of the responses were met with either approval to do so or simply no response. We decided to do it. Fast forward to week 6. Okay, so that happens early in the season. Okay.
Wow.
Fast forward to week 6. One of the league members who did not respond to the message decides to throw a fit and call it outrageous, demanding that the deal be called off or he'd leave the league. At this point, the tanking team is 0-5 and has made roster moves to position for the future. At that point in the season, there was no incentive to win. He was 0-5, had no draft picks other than the one I had agreed to send him. Ultimately, we decided to hold a vote again if the deal should stand, and it was approved 6-2. With two members not voting once again. The deal stood at the end of the season. I now own the first overall pick, thanks to the trade. And the team that I made the deal with got the number 3 overall pick, a mutually beneficial deal in the end. Majority of the league took no issue. Curious on your thoughts of the whole situation. I mean, I already said it. I love the strategy to it. Yep. I love the way it was handled. They were not trying to be sneaky about it at all. They tried to get the approval of everyone in the league, and some people, you know, it sounds like didn't respond, maybe didn't have a strong
preference.
Like
there were nobody against when it was first proposed.
Yeah. And then this one manager mid season, I mean, that's the only downside of this whole email, is that one person had sour grapes, 5 or 6 weeks in. So that's, I don't like that guy.
Yeah,
I don't like that move.
Yeah, I don't like that move either. You're in a weird spot where some people out there could go, well, this is collusion. You're trading a pick for, you know, something that's not really a tangible asset at the time or whatever. There's a lot of gray hair here for a normal league, but given that they have these unique rules and that they were so, like, to go against collusion, they were so transparent and upfront. Yes. And even like that second vote, that second vote probably didn't even need to happen. Like,
no, you
could tell that guy, it feels like in this circumstance, they went above and beyond to make the gray area not gray, if that makes sense. Even though, like, I get how you could pick at points of collusion here, but both teams are benefiting. I really enjoy this. I like
I
this.
Do too.
I love that the league was on board with this. It's kind of like conditional clauses in trades, yep. Right? Like I've a lot of my leagues in the past, none right now, but a lot of my leagues in the past have had conditional clauses, and that's kind of what this is. It's kind of a conditional clause. I would have liked to see something on the other side of that 103 going to that team, you know, but yeah, that's, I can see the collusion argument that I'm sure some of our listeners will be like, that's just straight up collusion. But I feel like we got to state, this is a league that was both okay with it. And it's clear they have rules that are very outside the norm, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a normal league. So collusion is a little more finicky when you have some very creative rules. Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. That's enjoyable.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
Yep. Yeah, and also to each league their own. If it works in your league, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Yeah, let's call this episode a day. That's very, I feel like that's the kind of one I'm going to think about over the course of the week, and I'm going to have more thoughts on, but yeah. Maybe not. That's a good one. That's a good one. I hope you guys like this quick hitter of 3 to 4 emails on Commission Impossible. We just have so many. There are some that are, you know, fit nicely into do a whole episode of this, cause we got a couple of emails. I know that there's a guy that I swear he's got like 3 or 4 emails that are all really good. We just haven't fit him in yet. I'm going to look up his name to give him another shout out, cause I feel bad that we haven't gotten his in yet. Where is it? Where are you, buddy? Yeah. Connor. Yeah. Connor, we're going to get to him. I swear. If we don't ever get to Connor's, this would just be a month long tease. I wouldn't do that to Connor. I wouldn't do that. But anyway, yeah, I think that's it. That's another episode of Commission Impossible. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on whatever you listen to podcasts on. Tell your friends, tell your league mates, tell your commissioners about our show. Please tell everyone. We're back. We're up and running. Follow me on Twitter at ScottFish24. Follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanMC23. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.